I like going to the movie theater so much, guys, that I learned the camp and the senior homes schedules to avoid them going to the movies, or sure. I would pick movies based on
what they would not go see,
what they wouldn't be going to see.
Right. What do the senior homes go see?
They go see a lot of like Oscar-y movies.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Oscar-y movies. The kids obviously go see the kids' movies, which
sure.
I'm not going to go see those anyways, but they see a lot of Oscar-y movies. Like when I saw Lady Bird, it was like I fucked up. It was a senior day. There were like 15 of us in there. And but I didn't fuck up that bad because I was crying when I left. And one old lady was like, "Are you going to be okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think I'll be fine." this was like when you could still hug a stranger.
Sure, right. Yeah.
And we hugged and then we walked out. Yeah. Sometimes this parking lot is beautiful.
Sometimes you do need the senior group around you.
We hugged.
I like it.
It's a senior, so you hugged and you walked out, and then she hit your car, backing out of her space.
No, she got up. She got back on the bus.
She gets in the bus. That's the beauty of senior day.
And then the bus hit your car. Yeah. got it. That's it, because all the senior citizens are like, "Hit the car! It's what we would do! We'd say we were careless, but it's because we're mad at the world!" Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. Oh, I'm just going to get right to it. We got a special guest today. I'm going to introduce everybody, then we're going to get directly to our guest because he's already dropped several knowledge bombs and narrated his way around the house, which was thrilling. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by my fellow host, Jason Kirk. Jason, how we doing today?
I'm doing fine. I'm joined by my fellow host, Ryan Nanny. Like, maybe that's what we've set up, a chain of hosts.
mm-hmm.
That's, sure.
That's Human Centipede, sponsored by Tums.
Oh, Ryan, you are muted on the clean feed, baby.
It's you this time, yes! Man! It's you!
I think what's pretty funny, just to let the listener in behind the not velvet rope. We can't afford velvet ropes, but we talked about this like 10 minutes
cotton.
Ago.
Yeah, we sure did.
This exact thing.
But I want to be clear. What I said was, I can't go a whole show without fucking this up. I didn't
say
I'm really good at this and I will nail it this week. Anyway.
Yeah, to be clear, Ryan wisely prepared us that this might happen.
Hey,
what were you saying about the human centipede?
It doesn't matter. I'm just gonna sit in my own failure.
That's what the human centipede is about.
What I was going to say is I feel like the scientist and the doctor had a very loose understanding of what a centipede is.
That seems pretty snug.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, have you even seen one?
Yeah, it's more like a human subway, right?
Sure, or like a human train, if you were going to tell me like they're connected like train cars or something. But like if you said come into this room, I have a human centipede, I'd be like, holy shit, a person with 1,000 arms? That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I'd just see a bunch of people asses sewed to mouths. Like, what a letdown.
The organism having too many faces would be the problem.
That would be part of the problem, but I would also say, like, part of the appeal of the centipede or the millipede is the ratio of legs to body length, and you haven't changed that at all.
It's completely off, yeah.
Like, it's exactly the same as a regular human.
Yeah, all you've done is stacked humans.
Right, like, a more accurate version of the movie is he's kidnapping people, chopping off their arms and legs, and grafting them onto one person who has a shitload of them.
Ryan, he brought people together, and that's what
does. Ryan, I think what you've described is a human dachshund.
maybe the Human Centipede was the podcast we made along the way.
Yeah. With that glorious intro, I would like to welcome our guest for our episode. We so rarely have them, but in this case, we had to, especially because on the Fullcast After Dark, we tried to have him as a guest and completely screwed up the tech behind it. So I think we have him now. That would be the legendary at In the Bleachers on Twitter, Michael Felder. Michael Felder, thank you for joining us.
No, thank you guys for having me. And I do have a couple things I do want to say. One, I think if we stop looking at limbs as arms versus legs and just look at them as limbs, the Human Centipede does have merit. Okay. Second part, when you said that they're coming, make people come together. We had a group at UNC called ACT Athletes Coming Together.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can tell he's really hitting this word in a very specific way.
That's basically what it was. It was just like, let's get all the teams together and like you find who you like and then you find who you like and then you guys do adult stuff together. But I'm happy to be here. I love this. I don't know what happened from a tech standpoint. I think we got it maybe fixed for the next time that we do the full cast after dark. But I mean, specifically, obviously I'm here as an advocate for Holly and KJ Jefferson, which we'll get to at some point. But I'm happy to be an ambassador for huge dudes doing stuff.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that because I know that Arkansas is off this week. They have a bye week. They'd have a well-deserved bye week because that team...
Yeah, they need a break.
That team, it's when you're that big, the big boys, you need a week off from being that big. You get winded.
They're not. They're not technically off. They are. I mean, they're playing Pine Bluff, but who's not that good? But I just before Pine Bluff fans start filling up dimensions, you know they will.
The Pine Bluff fans battering down my door.
Pine Bluff Mafia coming to your town.
They don't have an off week. They have a light week.
Yes.
In Arkansas, what we call a salad week, which in Arkansas I imagine is ham salad.
I was going to say a wedge.
A wedge? Is that
wedge salad?
What is the most fat boy salad you can think of? Now, I mean, commonly. Don't need to know. No theory.
Taco salad.
Is taco salad in the edible bowl?
Yeah.
I think it's wedge with blue cheese and bacon.
I'm kind of leaning that way. You know why? Because the pinnacle of like fat boy with money food is the steakhouse, right?
Wow, let's go to a steakhouse. Everybody, the boys will love it. Let's go to a steakhouse. It'll be 120 a head.
The wedge salad is never, like a taco salad, you could just eat that by itself. Cobb salad, same thing. Nobody's just like, what did you eat for lunch? I had a wedge salad. No, you, motherfucker, you had a steak too.
Well, yeah, it's the blooming onion of healthy.
Okay, that's- well, I take that personally.
There's also the, I think we can't overlook the, like, the buffalo chicken salad, because it's like, you're eating a meat that is, you're eating wings. It's okay. It's okay that you're eating wings.
It's okay if I eat chicken tenders if they're cut up for me already.
if mother has cut them.
Now I'm a big boy.
That is, I like that one because it's like the illusion of health with little landmines of delicious, like fatal fried chicken just floating in there, right? Like
globs of blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the difference, I would go back to Ryan's point though, but that's your whole meal.
Right.
Yeah. That's your whole meal.
Right.
The wedge with the humongous, like the real bacon bits. That's your starter. You're like, and you're probably going to get an appetizer anyways. You're like, you know what? We should get the shishito peppers. And why don't you throw in the fried green beans? I'm going to have a wedge. Then I'm going to have the lobster mac. Plus, let's go ahead and get the, we're going to get asparagus. I need something green. My mom would be upset if I didn't eat something green. And then I also want to have this huge steak. And can I have a loaded baked potato on the side?
Yeah, and you had a salad, so you're good.
Yeah, so you're all fine. Like, the steakhouse meal is, to me, the best extremely expensive lie you can get in food because it is, at every turn, attempting to make a good decision and then not. It's going, okay, let's get a salad. Sure, sure. We'll get you a solid fucking wedge, and we're going to cover it in blue cheese. We're just going to drive that in your gullet to clear the way for everything coming, right?
Well, surely it's got a nutritional vegetable at the base. No. It's got iceberg lettuce. No. It's basically just water. Water and vegetable form.
Water. All we're doing is breaking the dam to clear the way for all of the detritus and effluvia behind it.
Let's also not overlook the Caesar salad, which is just it's mayonnaise with lettuce dunked in it.
Yep.
That's all it is. And then it's like,
I know it's not mayonnaise. Face facts. It's basically mayonnaise.
And then
it does have fish. You get some omega-3s.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. So what's your appetizer? You're like, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to get like some delicious hearty bread. What is it? Actually, we're just going to get dinner rolls, which dinner rolls are just fat that have been that's been given enough grain to sort of just float up around it, right? And then we're going to soak it in butter. That's what we're going to do.
Yep.
Is that enough?
I was going to say popovers. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh, let's do the popovers." And it's just like, "Oh, these things have to be cooked in their own special fucking
fancy muffin tin." Yeah.
In their fancy tin, because there's so much butter in them that they don't even have a real batter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to be contained sort of like nuclear waste or something like that.
Yeah. Remember all
and they're delicious.
All food from Chicago is a homicidal dare. All of it, right? Like, that's there. It's sort of Chicago's home of the American steakhouse, and the reason that they do these things is because they're like, yeah, you want to be healthy in that? Yeah, that's fine here. How about you have some puffy butter air globule things? They're called rolls. We'll just give them to you. Also, oh, you want some vegetable? Here you go, spinach dip. That's good. What is it? Cream cheese, and we just sort of drown spinach in it. It's good for you. It's the best, and you got to share it with everybody. So you make sure your germs get in there, because you're going. The whole point of food is to die.
I will say this as someone who lives in Chicago: you're not wrong. And also, no. We are coming up on Chicago sexy season right now, baby.
What is Chicago sexy?
I'm sorry. Yes, please go on.
Chicago is a town, and I'm sure this is probably across the board of the Midwest. Chicago is a place that looks way better when it is 35 degrees. Than when it is 75 degrees.
Are you referring to the people or the town?
The town. If you can get all these leaves off the trees, mm-hmm. you're gold now. Now you can get to see kind of the architecture. The people, you spend all your money on the clothes that matter. Like,
right.
So
right.
We're getting into boots. We're getting into fashion. We're getting into long coats. We're getting into our Canada Goose. We're getting into all the things that, like, we spend our actual money on. Summertime, it's just like people in Old Navy flip-flops walking around with, like, like jean shorts. And I'm like, what's happening?
I like the way that you describe Chicago, because it makes it sound like, oh, yeah, it's sexy skeleton time. Here it comes. Get the leaves off. Make sure all the foliage is off. It's sexy skeleton time.
I tell you what, when I go on a walk, I will text you guys a picture of, you said skeleton time. Mm-hmm. Halloween is, I don't understand it, but these people decorate like insane for Halloween.
That's like a recent thing that has started to pop. Yeah, like that started to happen around in Nashville too. And like, I'm like, it's too close to Christmas. I'm not doing this twice.
People definitely decorate more for Halloween than they did back in the day. Like, maybe it's because trick-or-treating is a little bit less of a thing, at least.
No. This is like a couple years ago. This was happening pre-COVID. They were just like someone putting from their second floor window all the way to their like front floor, like the fence at the front of their house, like a big spider's web with like a skeleton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's, I don't think this is a COVID thing.
It could have a little bit to do with it in certain parts of the country, perhaps. But like, yeah, people definitely didn't go this hard on Halloween decorations a decade or two ago.
Like, it's basically like in Chicago. Like, yeah, I killed my neighbor and actually buried him in my yard, and then did an ironic
it's festive.
And then did
I'm
an,
being festive.
An ironic tombstone. That's really his name, Mr. Policeman.
Did you say ironic the first time?
Yeah, it is sexy Chicago season. Show me that sexy skeleton, Chicago.
The other reason it's probably sexy Chicago season is Chicago is too hot for touching in the summer.
Yeah.
And it's not like Miami hot, where it's sort of like, we accept that this is how it is and we're just all going to be as minimally clothed. We're going to all wear a lot of linen and rub up against each other, whatever. Chicago, it's like, oh, no. Don't touch me until after Thanksgiving. Then it's all right. Then we can do some over the sweatshirt stuff. Because it's still cold and I need to keep the sweatshirt on.
For added friction.
The only thing keeping me alive. Come on. Because the bears are killing me. Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Am I hitting a nerve?
Our college football podcast is going great.
It is.
Always has been.
But I did want to get back to that. Speaking of the Chicago of quarterbacks, the man with big shoulders, KJ Jefferson, he's the absolute coolest. Like, I'm just glad we have somebody else on here who can appreciate his greatness.
I get it. They lost to Ole Miss and obviously rough game against Auburn. But the fact that he was able to move that gigantic body around that much against Ole Miss at that tempo, I found to be remarkable. We were doing College Sports Now, and I was like, if this game plays into the 40s, I think Arkansas is going to be in trouble. But if they can keep it under the 30s, they're going to be fine. And then they play it into the 40s, and then we play it into the 50s. And they're able to – they keep going. I just think they're a resilient football team. Obviously, again, I don't know what's happening. Can we talk – you know what? We love you, KJ Jefferson. We're giving you your flowers. Can we talk about Bo Nix?
Dude, let's talk about Bo Nix.
Oh, it's time.
How Bo Nix like quietly had the greatest game of his life, and everybody was just like, moved on past it very quickly.
Yeah,
like what is he? I honestly, for me, watching it, I'm just like, how? Like, you went from devastating interception against Penn State. What happened against Georgia State? I don't know, but guess what? You're benched, and then the SEC puts out a highlight of TJ Finley leading a 99-yard drive where we're supposed to be impressed by this against Georgia State to he's back in the saddle. Guess what? I'm saving the day. Mm-hmm. And it just – I don't know. Does that count as gaining momentum?
I want to play – I want to ask you a question. Who's got more interceptions, Bo Nix or the ever-so-fancy six-star quarterback Bryce Young, huh? That's right. Bryce Young has 3. Bo Nix has 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like these are real things that happened within a month of each other. This is Bo Nix against Georgia State, 13 of 27. It's under 50% for 156 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
Okay.
Against Arkansas, 21 of 26, over 80% for 292 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick, 11 yards an attempt. Where the fuck did that come from?
Brian Harsin?
It's a God thing. It's a God thing. It's Auburn, so actually it's a God thing.
I think what it is that, like, looking back at his previous seasons, like 2020, he went 18 of 24 for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns against LSU. 2019, he went 16 of 21 for 335 and 2 touchdowns against Mississippi State. So I think, like, you are good for 1 to 2 what the fuck Bo Nix games a year.
Yeah.
And it's really just a matter of like when, but there's no real rhyme or reason to like when they happen, how they're going to happen. They don't necessarily mean anything about what 2 weeks later. That's the beauty of the Bo Nix experience. You're just rolling that 20-sided die and you're like, critical failure, critical hit. It doesn't matter. Just keep rolling.
I think part of it is he's been around for so long that we remember all of the bad games, and I don't know, I feel to some degree those have stuck in the collective mind in perhaps an outsized way. Then again, you look at his career numbers and it's like, oh dear. But
it
like,
is it, you're hitting on something. It is rare at this point to be an SEC especially quarterback for this long and not clearly be like good
or yeah.
This is his third year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like his 12th.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you said he's been around for so long, and I was like, oh, he still has another year.
He has 2.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to really excited for fifth year voting?
Is he going to take all of them?
2023.
I mean, how's that Milo's money hitting? Right? I mean,
what's he going to do? Get drafted?
Right.
What? No.
Detroit Lions draft Bo Nix. I'm going to keep saying this for 2 more years.
Don't do that to Bo.
That's not fair to him.
He's going
to
get paid. He's trying to get Bo paid.
I want him to get paid too, but I don't think – listen, he's a guy. He's from Alabama. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
Son of an Auburn quarterback.
Like, let's put him on the Texans or the Dolphins or something. Like, come on.
Let's keep him close. Like, let's – he back up for the Falcons. Let's go.
Falcons practice squad. Come on.
Come on. And, like, he doesn't need – there's no reason for him to have to deal with a Detroit winner.
No.
Okay, fair.
Do you know what that'll do to his frosted tips?
Just free. Does he have frosted tips?
No, he just looks like it. He actually does. He looks like he looks like he
just
has.
Wait till he gets to Miami.
Yeah. He looks like he has frosted tips. That's just how 100% Auburn quarterback he is to the core, is that he looks like he does but doesn't. It's like they're natural. They just come out looking like this.
Yeah, he does have a real, like bad guy in a Three Ninjas movie.
He really does.
Kind of look to him.
Yeah. He's
Fuck
so,
you, Rocky.
He
I'm
is,
looking this up.
He's so on the high side of pretty boy Auburn quarterback, as opposed to giant old sack of potatoes Auburn quarterback, a.k.a. the Ben, AKA the Ben Lairds of the world. I miss those guys. I miss those Tuberville quarterbacks where you're like, who is this guy? You're like, I don't know. He was the backup power forward on a local high school team. And then we made him a quarterback.
This is Brian Big Country Reeves, and he's our quarterback now for some reason.
I miss those guys. Now you're like, this guy's athletic. He can run around and do stuff. And you're like, I need a guy who runs a 5-4 and can kind of throw a slant pattern.
Oh, not really? Sorry. I didn't mean to disappear. I was just looking. It looks like he uses like a sun in.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is what it looks. Yes.
Yeah.
At the very least, lemon juice.
Natural sun in is not something to sneeze at. By the way, Bo Nix is sixth in the conference. I did not know in terms of total passing. I was like, Matt Corral's got to be first. Matt Corral's only fifth. He spent most of his time running around.
They run the football, which is really cool. Like they run the ball. I think it's awesome. Lane is figuring it out, and they run the ball, and they're the best. Are they still number one in the country in running the football? I think that they are. They're outside of. Excuse me. So we have Air Force, Army, Coastal, then Ole Miss. They're fourth. Florida's fifth, and they run the ball a ton. And it's all run looks off of this insane stuff that Lane Kiffin does in terms of creating levels in the passing game.
Yeah.
Where, oh, by the way, I can still just run.
Yeah. I can just take off at any point, right? Because the middle of the field is completely open, which is what he did time and time and time and time again against Tennessee, which is what got him hurt and possibly doubtful for this week. But let's not talk about that part.
Let's not dwell. Let's not dwell.
Hey!
Macarena.
I got one more thing. As an appreciator of big dudes, not to go too far back to Arkansas, but we're going to go a little bit back to Arkansas. Treylon Burks is just the cool... Like, Treylon Burks... On the other end of that KJ Jefferson thing, I was watching a little bit of Treylon Burks, like the highlights from the Arkansas game. Oh my God. That is not fair, dude.
Nobody pushes off like him.
Nobody. Like, you got to respect it, right? Like, as a former DB, it's a solid push off.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying it as a negative. I'm saying that, like, he is so big and strong and huge that when he gives you like a little, what looks like a little elbow in your back, you're gone, and now he has space. When he stacks you and he gives you just that little bit of that little hand to your shoulder pad, you stop, and now he's got a yard of space. Like he's really good at it. I think he's amazing. Sorry, I heard somebody's truck backing up.
Yeah, it's your mother-in-law, and she's backing up into your car.
She drives a Prius.
Yeah, so she's going to total it. Prius? Gonna absolutely screw up your car.
Can I share a stat from the state of Arkansas?
Please.
I was playing around on CFB stats.
I was hoping this was about agriculture or something, but go ahead.
Yeah, let's go. The chicken man.
He did say stat from the state of Arkansas.
Right. It is about yards.
Okay.
So in terms of, I'm still scrolling, but in terms of yards per play allowed, it appears that Butch Jones's Arkansas State is on pace to give up more yards per play than any team in CFB Stats' entire database ever. They are allowing 8.94 yards per play. Damn near first down every time anything happens.
Is that bad?
It's pretty bad. And yeah, they haven't played the most ferocious schedule. They got to play Washington at one point, so...
Other than their opening game against Central Arkansas, every opponent has reached at least 540 yards, and three have eclipsed 660. Yeah. Points.
Coastal with a slick 10.9 yards per play against Arkansas State.
Jesus.
It's rough.
I mean, at least
Coastal's good. Coastal is good.
Yeah.
But man.
But Tulsa's not.
The evidence speaks to the contrary here. They must be amazing.
That's the answer. It reminds me a lot of like East Carolina a couple years ago, where you just kind of cross your fingers and just hope that like they'll drop it or they'll score quick, because on third down you're going to be in trouble, because that's the other thing for them is like their third downs, like they're, it's not good. it's not good. They're technically at 39%, but it's because teams aren't playing third downs. Like 78 total third downs, 30 conversions. But like the reality is, over the course of, what is that, six games? Are we talking about six games?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of third downs, and that's also not a good, like, teams are like, don't worry, we don't have to convert on third down. We'll just get it another time.
Because we get to keep playing, get to keep facing the same defense.
We also, in about a month, in 4 weeks, we're going to, at least as of now, get to watch a new or a different version of the Sickos game of the week. Arkansas State goes to play ULM, who, despite winning, is still the worst in FBS in yards per play on offense. At 3.95. So I'm very excited to see, like, what does the defense that can only give up 600 yards do against the offense that can't get 300? Where does that all net out?
Does anything happen or not?
Does nature abhor this vacuum and fill it with some mystical third team out of nowhere?
It's University of Central Arkansas. That's who. They just show up. Hey, you want to fight?
Woo! We heard there was game.
Let's go! And we're still on that pandemic scheduling. We'll show up to anybody. I heard the All Blacks are in town this week. Let's go! Mm-hmm. All Blacks, actually.
It appears the country's most average team is currently Stanford, so I think that's who shows
God,
up.
That tracks perfectly.
God.
Nothing about a Stanford game. Like, David Shaw is the least interested person in entertaining in the world. Like, I'm pretty sure if you went to David Shaw's house for dinner, he'd be like, we have crackers, and we have... iceberg lettuce, not a salad, just lettuce. room temperature water. And that's it.
Just a handful of lettuce you can take a bite out of. Mm-hmm.
I read a story once about Nick Nolte, and he had some people over for dinner. He's like, yeah, why don't you guys come over for dinner? And these people, being normal and not knowing Nick Nolte, said, oh, sure, I'm sure Nick's going to have a full spread for us. So they show up, and Nick Nolte is barefoot and shirtless, wearing a pair of, like, tattered khakis, and hasn't shaved in, like, you know, ever. And then he's like, oh, come on in. And he's like, so what are you going to, like, what's for dinner? And he goes, oh, dinner! And he goes out into his backyard, and he has these, like, tomatoes growing back there. And he starts just pulling them off the vine. And he goes, here you go!
Eat it like an apple!
Jeez.
And then he left.
Then he left his house?
Yeah. And then he just ticks off. Best dinner party ever.
Like, I bet David Shaw just opens a bag of hot dogs and just hands it to you.
Yeah.
Just like, here you go. Here's one meat dog for you. Pass it around, please. That's Stanford football.
I don't know why they exist.
A cold hot dog eaten by itself without a bun or condiments.
They used to be a certain kind of cool. Like, even post Harbaugh, they used to be the, like, big, burly, run-blocking gods, intellectual cruelty-dealing dudes. And now they're just a waste of time, viewing-wise. It sucks so bad, because they used to be cool.
But wasting time was there. That was the point all along.
I agree with Felder. Like, Tanner McKee is good and could be fun to watch, but they don't give him that much to do.
No.
I like Tanner.
Throw a fade. Why don't you go throw a fade? Why don't you throw another fade?
I like fades too. You know what?
Really?
I'm realizing I'm just the guy that likes to eat lettuce and.
I've seen you cook. That's not true. Do you know what wing night looks like at David Shaw's house? It's just the wings. That's it.
Yeah.
I like fades. Like, yes, Jason, I like that fade. I like it. It's terrifying. It's one of the scariest plays in football. Like, it's terrifying. Like, so as someone on the receiving end, you're like, oh no, there's nothing I can do about this.
So you're thinking from like DB mindset, that is the play you would least like called. I see.
Yeah,
though it never works.
From a DB, is that the one that you don't want to see above all other routes? You don't want to see the fade.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't. Especially in the red zone for a touchdown. I don't like that's you're asking me. Would I like to get mossed or would I like to have someone just like make me like for all intents and purposes, I would love to be out of the frame when you score your touchdown.
There's no cool photo of, oh, you bit on this double move and I'm by myself over here. Yeah. Like you're not in that cool photo.
Nope. Not in it. Not in it at all. But the one where you take the football off my face mask.
So Stanford as an offense exists just specifically to humiliate like one guy per game. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all they're accomplishing.
Yeah. And whether it's Higgins or it's the, what is it, Juracek or whatever the kid's name is that plays tight end, they're just going to throw it to him and be like, hey, man, good luck.
Can I tell you how much I love the saying, I want to be out of frame when you score the TD? That's pointing at the safety. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, make sure you got one of these going. What are you?
what are you doing? Oh.
Yeah, there's no honor being the guy who's dunked on in the poster. Nobody's
exactly.
Like, you know
this
what? You know what? Yes. You really got into position and you contested. Nobody gives a shit about that. It's just like, well, you got yammed on.
Yeah, exactly. This is this getting mossed is football's version of being posterized. And who wants to be underneath Giannis when he's got his nuts on your head? And you're like, oh, no, 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 no.
And also, when it's like, it may be even worse than basketball, is like if they've called four fades in a row, maybe you stop three of them. No one cares. The fourth one counted.
All it takes is one.
Yeah, no, they're the assassin. The assassin, you know, the bodyguard has to be right every time. The assassin just has to be right once.
And that's why when they throw the fade, you just commit blatant PI, because that's not getting photographed either.
No.
No, I'm committing.
At least they don't show up on Getty when I look through.
No, that's right. That's true.
I'm committing the kind of PI where I punch you in the nuts on camera. Right? Mm-hmm. They're like, personal foul, ejected from game. And I'm like, wasn't six. Wasn't
not
six.
Not in the photo anymore now, am I? No. If I'm out.
Do you think...
I'm all for that.
Do you think there's some kind of cult out in Utah made exclusively up of the Hornacek family where they're like, you want to be under there. You want to be that guy getting dunked on. You're the man in the ring.
Get your skull in those nuts.
Yeah.
Plant your feet. Plant your feet and... butt him right in the nuts.
I think you're describing just like most Utah Jazz fans over the course of the franchise's history.
Yeah,
that's like what is it, Greg Paulus, who tried to draw a charge on Danny Green and he's just like, sorry buddy.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a good plan.
Hashtag deal with it. I'll put my sunglasses on.
You know, dealing and deals. Those are both I'm reminded of people that will help you get those kind of deals in life. People that will set you up for financial success.
He's going to get there. He's working towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Let him, like a truffle pig, let him find it. Mm. Go.
As
go,
if,
boy.
As if I were...
Find the ad read.
As if I were sniffing at the ground like a truffle pig and instead found the tasty snack of acorns.
Folks, if life has called fade routes on you and... the wide receiver's acorns are in your face. It's time to seize them and make them work for you at acorns.com/fullcast, where you can receive not 6 points, but something far more valuable, which is $5, that you can then convert into many more dollars, enough to retire forever and never be photographed ever again, which is the goal in life, to completely disappear from memory and everything else. And acorns.com/fullcast can make that happen on the app that whenever you buy stuff, some of it goes in your secret pile and then the investments happen and then you can retire at age 83 or sooner or later.
Yeah, we're going to
or later. That's a new twist. I like that.
I love
you never
that.
Know
you can get the family plan which I will update you on the progress. I have two little accounts where I've been putting away a little bit of cash for the youngsters, for my sons. And this week's balance update, we're looking at, a $52 differential between the boys. So I believe that my child, the embezzler, the younger child, has probably continued to diversify the portfolio. Mm-hmm. Probably, I'm thinking crypto at this point.
Do you know what crypto is?
No.
Okay.
But they're definitely.
That's fine. I don't want to get into it, and I don't want to talk about it. I just wanted to confirm that you don't know what crypto is.
You know that the answer yes is a way worse answer, so I'm not going to give it. If I'm like,
I
yes,
wanna be
I
clear.
Do know what cryptocurrency
I wanna
is,
I want to be clear.
Ryan.
No matter what you said, I believed the answer was no.
It was no matter what I said, it was going to go wrong.
Yes.
It
yes,
was going to be correct. Absolutely wrong, especially because if you say cryptocurrency, you've either entered the realm of somebody who is so smart they might be conning you, or the overly credulous and enthusiastic person who's like, yeah, I'm in on the next hustle. Crypto? I'm there. Eating nothing but liver for 3 weeks to improve my testosterone? I'm there. Sleeping in the vacuum chamber with like quadrupled oxygen? I'm there. Like, that's the kind of person who's into crypto. And I'm like 3% that person, so I'm not going to admit to knowing it.
As Chicago sexy season approaches, it's time to look your sexiest out there. And that's right. That means homefieldapparel.com, the sexiest collegiate sweatshirts, sweatpants, hoodies, crew necks, t-shirts, which you would wear under the sweatshirt at this point. Yeah, they've just added Georgia Tech and Boston College. Am I forgetting anybody that they've recently added?
USF. I think
USF,
we mentioned them, though.
We mentioned them last time. Yeah. They've got stickers now. That's not really going to up your sexy apparel game, but that's fine.
You could wear them as pasties underneath your t-shirt.
That's true. Legally, you can do that. No one can stop you.
No one can stop you.
And you can use offer code FULLCAST to get 20% off your first order. The nice thing about Homefield is that they're always kind of surprising us. Like, Big New Saturday happened, and I was sort of like, all right, that's it. And then they added three more schools. And then they added stickers. And now they're probably, like, I'm not saying they're going to add more FULLCAST shirts at some point, but, like, maybe they're going to add more FULLCAST shirts. And then maybe you use your offer code to buy FULLCAST shirts. And then maybe you have unlocked the secrets of time and space. Who's
and I like that the FULLCAST shirts here are being described as sort of an unpredictable virus kind of thing. Like,
right.
In the computer sense, like their website might just suddenly have sprawling code.
None
that
shall know the
FULLCAST
hour.
Shirts.
Oh, wow. Wow. For a minute, I thought Cerber had dropped like a sound drop.
That's funny that you said that because I just put on I can't talk because my face is swollen and I want to die, but I just popped in to say, Cerber, can you please, in that last segment, put that clip of Hartzell saying, y'all fucks with that crypto? With like an air horn? Because it's my favorite thing he's ever said.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it. Y'all have a great show. I'm dying. Bye.
Feel better.
Y'all fucks with that crypto?
Are y'all up for a little bit of a stupid game?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You said stupid, so yes.
Yeah. So coaching carousel has already started. It's been like a month since USC fired their head coach. In the last week, we've seen two more head coaches depart under very different circumstances. But this is how this world works. It always gets going a little earlier than we think it will. It always gets a little bit stupider than we think it will. So I'm going to try something different. I have picked out 9 schools, all FBS schools, some Power 5, some Group of 5, mix of conferences. The only thing I will tell you that applies to all of them is that none of these jobs are open right now. Some of them might come open. Some of them, I have no reason to think that would necessarily be the case, but who knows? And I've picked for each of you 3 schools, And I'm going to give you the blind, sort of the blind description of them, where I'm going to tell you how much the job pays, according to the most recent USA Today database number. I use the full salary and not the COVID-adjusted salary, which, fun fact, for some coaches, was not adjusted at all. I'm going to tell you a little bit about their recent history.
Wait, time out. So they had, like, with COVID-adjusted salaries, were those the ones that, like, coaches were like, I'm also going to take the same pay cut that the university employees
took? Correct. Okay. Yes. Like, they have listed, like, what their what they're saying their contract year pandemic reduction looked like. Lincoln Riley took a pay cut of about $214,000. Jimbo Fisher and Dan Mullen, $0.
I just needed to, like, get in there and see who was on that list.
Yep. So I am giving you the actual number that they get paid. Okay. I'll tell you one thing about their recent recruiting, and I'll tell you something about their future schedule.
Do we get to pick the schools?
No. I have the list of nine. Each of you are going to get three. I'm your agent. I'm coming to you with three job offers, and you have to pick one. Yeah.
Got it.
All right, so Jason, I'm going to let you go first. Here are your three offers to pick from, and I'll repeat whatever you need. School number one will offer you a salary of $4.25 million a year. Your predecessor only won one bowl game. This school has had one top 25 recruiting class out of the last three complete cycles, 2018, 2019, and 2020. And in the next 4 years, your out-of-conference includes home-and-homes with Vanderbilt and Rutgers. That's offer number one.
Okay.
Offer number two pays $2.2 million. Over the last three seasons and change, the last three seasons and what's been played so far this year, this school is 5-20 in conference play. In the next 3 years, you will get home games against Alabama, Louisville, and BYU. And a university official has said that the school is going to build you a new stadium. They haven't said when, and they haven't, like, given details, but they've said that's going to happen. And your last offer pays $2.75 million a year. There are only two coaches in school history that have had a double-digit win season. Here are your season openers for the next 3 years: Georgia State, UNC, and Old Dominion. And at the start of the 2021 NFL season, your school had more players in the NFL than Auburn, Oregon, or NC State. These are your three offers.
They all sound appealing and they all sound suspicious. This is well crafted. So geography is sticking here for as a thing I'd really like my agent to tell me more about, but unfortunately I haven't unlocked that information.
Yeah, you have to, that's a microtransaction in this game. If you Venmo me $50, I'll tell you.
I've only paid for the tier one agent. So the first one, I like the money, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
I like the low expectations, apparently, that come with only winning one bowl game in however many. Was it a decade? Or
it's just your predecessor, for whatever their tenure has been, has only won a bowl game once.
So maybe they've only been there like a year or something. Hmm. The non-conference sounds very appealing, but you did not indicate that those are my only non-conference opponents.
So no, not your only non-conference opponents.
Okay. Nevertheless, I do get to face Vanderbilt and Rutgers while making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And regardless, I feel I can top the accomplishments of my predecessor in terms of raw bowl wins. I don't know. Maybe they won a really good bowl and no other bowls, but I'm going to take that one. It's a lot of money. That's a big factor here.
That's fair. All right, I'm going to tell you who you turned down first. First, the lowest paying job, $2.2 million, 5-20 in conference play, is going to build a new stadium according to university officials. You turned down the USF job, and I think that was a good decision.
That was a great decision.
I sort of sensed that. Yeah, like if you'd let me guess, like five schools to associate that one, USF would have been on the list, and they might have been the one I was trying to avoid.
The other school that you did not pick, where with only two coaches who've won double-digit games and all these players in the NFL that offered you $2.75 million, that's South Carolina.
Okay.
Will not be coaching the Gamecocks. Instead, Jason Kirk, you are the new coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies.
I'll take it. Okay. I'll take okay. it. If those are my options, I would have taken them straight up. So I'm pretty happy about
this. Not bad.
The message boards already love you because you're not Justin Fuente. So you're doing great.
But that's basically where everyone starts at every new job. So, yes, we're good.
All right. Felder, we're going to have you go next.
Okay.
Felder, you've got big money jobs because respect, first of all. All right. So here's your first offer. This job pays $4 million a year. This team has 2 bowl wins in the last 13 seasons. Their last 3 recruiting classes have averaged a national ranking of like between 14th and 15th. And in the next 3 years, you will only face one non-conference Power 5 opponent if you take this job. Offer 2 pays $5 million a year. This program has only had 1 double-digit win season in the last 7 years, but in none of those years have they gone below 500. Their last 2 recruiting classes have ranked 5th and 6th in the conference, and in the next 3 years, they only have 1 non-conference road game. And your last offer pays $6.1 million. Over the last 3 years and the part of this year that we've played, this team is 21-20. Their last 5 recruiting classes have each ranked 3rd in the conference, and in the next 3 years, your only non-conference Power 5 opponents come from the Pac-12.
All right. Well, if you check your Venmo, you will see that I paid you $50.
He didn't do that. Okay. What geographical information can I give you here that would be helpful?
I'll let Jason and Spencer decide. What geography should I get? Because I did send $50.
He did send me $50 on Venmo. I can't even.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. Yeah.
So I feel like a nice chill place is high on the concerns list for Felder.
I mean,
No. If I'm asking for geography, what geography can he give me without giving away the school?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, like what information can you give him? Like that's
okay.
You didn't expect me to Venmo you $50.
I super didn't. All right. Here's what I will tell you. You're the $5 million and the $6.1 million offers are both south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Okay.
All of these schools are east of the Rockies, and your first offer, the $4 million, is the only one north of the Mason-Dixon line. I feel like that probably gives you enough. And if you have a specific question you want me to layer on top of that, I'll try to add that.
No, I don't want to make it. I don't want to make it easy on myself. Okay. I like playing the game, and I did want to. You said You said if you Venmo me $50, I'll tell you geography. On Venmo and I did it. So
thank you.
Okay, so Felder, I'm just going to state that third one. It's not above the Mason-Dixon line, right?
No, it is.
It is.
No. It's not above. No. It's south.
It's south of it.
The last two are south.
All right.
The last two are south. The first one is above. Yes. But they're all east of the Rockies. But that doesn't make them east of the Mississippi. And as someone who desperately wants to not just move below the Mason-Dixon line, but also back to the actual true southeast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to think about your family. You've really got to consider your family.
Yeah.
How easy is it going to be for my mom to watch my kid? Dude.
So Mason-Dixon line has a lot of interpretations. but it seems if we're talking,
which Mason-Dixon line do you prescribe to?
Well, I would say if we're talking east of the Rockies, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems the most popular interpretation would basically be adding Texas and Oklahoma onto the actual historical line, if I have that right.
Right.
But otherwise, it would be basically parallel to Arkansas all the way across. So I guess the question is whether it includes Arizona and New Mexico or not.
And listen, my brother is a New Mexican. Born there.
Yeah.
Spent 6 years there. I'll never go back.
Here's the other thing. I'm not trying to give this away, but I don't think there's a job in Arizona or New Mexico that pays $4 million.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think those exist.
New Mexico is
Oh, man.
Buddy, King,
like
King,
New Mexico's whole football program, Michael.
King of the...
All right, I'm going to go... Go ahead. You go ahead.
King of the nukes. That's what pays $4 million a year. What are you? I'm the desert king of the nukes. Bow at my throne. Oh, man.
Shout out to Holloman Air Force Base, baby.
This is big UNM booster Walter White.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know
perfect.
What?
Perfect.
One 10-win season for the second team, but they could have hired a bunch of dummies.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'm not going to take the most money, okay. The 6.1.
Okay.
That feels like a school that's just like building to fail consistently. the first school, $4 million, they've won 2 bowls in 13 years.
Yep.
Hey. I'm going to go in the middle. Let's just go in the middle.
Okay. All right. Here's what you didn't pick.
What do I got?
Here's what you didn't pick. The $4 million offer with the 2 bowl wins and the average recruiting ranking of 14th, 15th. That's Michigan. You turned down the Michigan job.
Wow.
Feel great about it.
I had a feeling you'd be happy with that. The job, the expensive job that you turned down paid $6.1 million, but is only 21-20 over the last 3.5 years. It's TCU. You will not be taking the TCU job. So,
great.
Mike Felder, I am happy to announce that you are the new head coach of the Auburn Football Tigers.
Yes!
Oh, they're going to...
Listen, you wanted to be back in the Southeast?
Oh, you're back in the Southeast, buddy.
You're back in the Southeast, buddy.
Oh, my. Would they hire me? For like...
Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Michael Felder?
You better for $5 million.
Yeah.
All right, Spencer, you have my most interesting triumvirate.
Oh, so I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to screw it up big time.
Because I love you.
Wait.
No, I think yours is just like nothing but interesting choices, let's call it.
That's what Jigsaw would say.
Yeah. That's
let's
a little
play
bit
a game.
All right. Your first option pays $1.9 million a year. Over the last 5 seasons, has made 4 bowl games. Not going to tell you how they did, but they've made 4 appearances. Their recruiting ranking has improved every year for the last 4 cycles, but none of those classes are in the top 50. Here is your 2022 non-conference schedule.
Okay.
SMU, Texas Southern, UNLV, and Memphis. That's offer number one. Offer number two will pay you $2.95 million. This school has not finished 500 or better in conference play since 2015. In the last 4 recruiting cycles, they've had 2 top 50 classes, and here are their road non-conference games for the next 3 years. At Kansas, at UConn, at Northwestern twice. And your last offer will pay you $3.6 million. In the last 10 seasons, they have only finished in the top 3 of their division once. Their last 3 recruiting classes have all finished within 4 spots of the others. So that could mean that they're 9, 10, and 6. It could mean that they're 87, 90, and 86. Mm-hmm. And in the next 3 years, you have to play Notre Dame and Auburn on the road. These are your 3 offers. Which one do you want?
So I feel like that last one's some big time. Like, that feels a little more big time. The first one feels like small but niche and somewhere in the state of Texas, I'm guessing, or at least in the Texas Metroplex, which I have to admit intrigues me. Because I'm like, I don't know. That just feels like a better quality of life. I'm closer to HEB and Whataburger. So, like, you know.
I love that that's the better quality of life.
Listen, if I'm going to move to Texas, you got to think with your gut first, and by gut I mean stomach. So, the second one is just confusing to me, and seems like
sure.
They're set up for big time failure. I'm going to go niche, and I'm going to go with number one.
Okay, here are the jobs you turned down. The confusing one that paid you almost $3 million. And will play at Kansas, at UConn, and twice at Northwestern. Spencer, you will not be coaching the Duke Blue Devils.
Boy, great call.
You've turned that
good call.
The richest offer, the one that plays Notre Dame and Auburn on the road for $3.6 million, you will not be coaching the Cal Golden Bears.
Also good
You've
call.
Turned that job
Great
down.
Call.
Instead, you are the new coach, and you fucking nailed it, buddy, of the North Texas Mean Green.
Hey, I could do Denton. That's fine. It's near Oklahoma, but that's fine.
That's what you're getting. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you, I don't know how good, like, how good jobs are is sort of an impossible question to answer, like, irrespective of personalities and whatever, but I could see you thriving at North Texas. It, to the extent that that's a thing.
You got to come see us. We're out there. We've got a great jazz program. Do you like jazz, young man?
Sure. All teenagers do.
All teenagers love the jazz. He's an incredible recruiter. You just got to get him in the room. I feel good about my choice, though. Yeah, I think, like, North Texas is a good fit for me, frankly.
So we have North Texas, Auburn. Yeah. Who did Jason get again?
I got Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. We're fine. It's fine.
This will be fine.
Mike,
you did all sort of gravitate towards programs that maybe not North Texas as much, but Jason and Felder, you're on the hot seat right away.
Oh yeah,
immediately.
I mean, so. I'm getting $4 million. I'm lasting. I don't think I need any more money than that.
All you have to do to be more beloved than Justin Fuente is just be like, I'll never take the Baylor job. Woo!
Like, I feel like to stay at Virginia Tech, I just need to say, like, we're going to play
lunch
really...
Lunch pail the hell out of the lunch
Yeah,
pail.
We'll bring back all the shit. Bring back all the shit they like. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to pander my ass off for lunch pails and Metallica, man. And then we're going to do... I'm just going to say, like, we're going to block a punt every game.
Yeah, right. we don't even leave a returner back because that's
actually,
one more
I won't
person
even say
who
that.
Could block the punt.
Yeah. We're going to sell out to block every punt. And I'll promise we'll block 10 punts this season instead of per game. That way it can stick all the way through
you
the 12th game
it,
that we're going to block 10 Virginia punts.
That's right.
And then they can fire me. Then they can
that's
fire
right.
me
that's
with
right.
my $4 million.
I mean, I feel good about it. Like, I'm going to go down there. Auburn, we're going to cheat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the facts.
Just roll up, like hey,
opening time. Press conference.
I'm not kidding. I think that's probably what Auburn boosters want to hear.
Catch me if you can, baby. We're going full on Leonardo DiCaprio. Let's go.
Yeah.
I can't
Spencer
remember
doesn't
that
have
actor's, a... that character's name, but yes, I'm doing that.
Spencer doesn't have a plan other than go to the grocery store and want a burger, but...
You know what? That's the whole... You know what? We have a family atmosphere here at North Texas.
I feel like if Coach is constantly being photographed at Buc-ee's and whatever, that's great for recruiting. That was like Jeff Collins' entire business model when he got to Georgia Tech, is be photographed at Waffle House a lot. And that turned out awesome for him.
It's going super well.
That's all
it's
we're doing. Super, we're just going to... Listen, well. You come out, we have a little Friday thing we call Grilling with the Eagles. That's where I put on my Eagles greatest hit CD. And we
grilling with
easy.
The Eagles.
Right? And we got Mean Green Burgers because, you know, mm-hmm. we have a large vegan community. So I fix veggie burgers for everybody. And then, you know what?
And after we lose by 25, we play Take It Easy over the loudspeaker as everybody leaves.
Hey, listen, we play Desperado, win or lose. Okay? It's an emotional moment with everybody joining hands and singing along with the haunting vocals of Don Henley as he outlined.
Don Henley's here. Don Henley does the pregame speech in the locker room. None of the kids know who he is. He doesn't know why he's there, but
no.
We paid for him. God damn it.
He like raises money for his weird Walden Woods Foundation from teenagers
Spencer's
in
on
Texas.
The, Spencer's on the Mean Green Recruiting TikTok playing jazz and Don Henley.
I get the mellow.
Come on, teens.
I get the mellow.
You guys are making jokes.
Yeah, no.
You're making jokes. I like the Eagles. Not gonna listen.
Yeah.
Not ashamed to say it.
No, it's fine, but you're not a recruit.
You're gonna get that peaceful, easy feeling.
Yeah.
Every time we win
this
the football
team is
game.
Gonna be so chill when they're like 2-7. You know, and they're not gonna give a shit, good. Man.
Oh. You're gonna get a wild man that likes what's the Joe Walsh by himself song that's like my Maserati does 185.
Oh yeah, life's been good to me. We're gonna get
yeah.
Him.
Guess what? Yeah. We're going to a bowl game and life's been good to me so far.
He'll be like,
yeah. but we don't play the Heat is on because we're mad at Glenn Frey.
No, we're so angry at Glenn Frey.
But we will 100% play Lion Eyes when you decommit from us.
That's right, because you can't hide.
This one goes out. This one goes out to that quarterback.
Offense. What's our offensive? What's our offensive style? Life in the fast lane.
Life in the fast lane. That's what we do when we go tempo.
After every first down.
I played it off my.
I did not
play it off my phone.
I didn't realize how many Eagles songs I knew.
Spencer, call on the alumni on homecoming. You can also have Stone Cold Steve Austin show up.
But he only sings Eagles songs.
But his intro is the jazz cover of his last break, and then jazz version.
Jazz cover of Witchy Woman.
Yeah. And by the way, when you commit, he stuns you. If you commit to University of North Texas, Stone Cold Steve Austin will personally stun you. Will this actually be Stone Cold Steve Austin? No, it's going to be a fat, bald guy named Marty who works at the Buc-ee's. And you just show up.
Your defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I don't think he stuns you. I think he stuns the rest of the college football world.
Wow. Yeah. That's it.
I don't think there has ever been a segment on this show that better encapsulates that this is for nobody.
Are you kidding me? If you could get Julia Louis-Dreyfus on campus singing witchy woman.
That's it.
That's magic.
That's
Who
how we
wouldn't
get,
go to school there.
That's how we get that SEC invite.
And also, let's get in. Did she sang witchy woman, right?
No.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
No.
I'm trying to find her connection to North Texas.
I don't believe she went to North Texas either, as she was very wealthy.
She 100% didn't go to North Texas.
No, she went to Northwestern, I believe. I'm trying to find
her kid played basketball at Northwestern, I think.
Yeah. She did some fundraiser for Texas Democrats. So we can say it's canon that at that point, Spencer assisted with that.
She did sing Witchy Woman, right?
If you say so, I
remember her, she dated a guy on Seinfeld when she was on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And there was a Seinfeld episode, she dated a guy who, he was like, please stop singing this song. It's my song.
Oh, yes.
Desperado. And she was like, well, we could have our own song together. And it was Witchy Woman.
Oh, right. Okay. That's right. Yes.
I see you do the thing with Seinfeld I did, which is I assumed that everything those characters did was actually them. Right? So I'm like, Jason Alexander actually kept having sex with the maid in his office, and when caught said, was that wrong? That was Jason Alexander.
I didn't know that was wrong.
Did you know that Don Henley went to North Texas?
Yeah, I did.
You knew that?
Yeah.
I did not.
He was in the jazz program there.
I thought we just stumbled upon
it.
No. Okay.
I did not know that.
Method to this madness.
Is, like, Meatloaf went to North Texas?
Oh, wow.
Oh, all of those, like, skinny, all of those, like... all of those.
You
like,
said skinny? You called Meatloaf skinny?
No. No. It's I can't remember the name, but like the new jazz movement, like with the band that plays behind Lynn.
Oh, the skinny ties.
Yeah, no.
Roy Orbison went to North Texas?
Yes, he did.
I knew Roy Orbison did.
What the fuck? North Texas, you gotta let people. Peter Weller, RoboCop went to North Texas.
Yes, I understand.
Spencer's going to be like, you're going to have so many 50-year-old five-star recruits lining up.
Uh huh.
If they haven't used up their eligibility, they still count.
That's true. And then you know what? That's a game day video right there. That's a game day tearjerker video.
I mean, hell, did Bruce Willis go to college?
I don't think so.
No.
I kind of doubt it.
You know what Bruce Willis is into? Jazz.
Yeah, he's going to want to play, but if you're cool with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, hey, we need bring him in.
Honestly, we need a kicker. A little short on those.
Thomas Hayden Church is going to be your kicker, who also went to North Texas.
See?
Unbelievable.
Fuck.
Unreal.
What are we going to
do? Thomas Hayden Church?
Yeah. Anne Rice, Queen of Vampires, went to North Texas.
Wow.
You got a squad here. It's a squad for moms and dads, but it's a squad.
No. We are getting every weird goth kid.
Is this on the wiki?
Wants to be
yes. Yes.
Every High Plains goth is coming to our school. That's what we're getting.
if they like
Nora Jones?
You're collecting
Pat Boone?
Nora Jones? This is the chillest alumni list possible.
What are we going to be doing? We're going to be Denton Helmets and Denton Hearts in Denton.
When this team is 1-10, their resting heart rate is still just ice cold.
42. 42 and thinking about a lost love. That's what we're doing all the time.
Man, Bill Moyers, you can make this work.
I'm telling you.
I think you got the best job, man. And there's no pressure.
None. None. What if I go?
Phyllis George?
That damn.
Yeah.
What else do you need for me to pitch you on this? And it's just this. Hey, you ever been in an ice storm?
See? You're killing it. You're already killing it. Dr. Phil.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Do you ever want to skate to class? You could do that four times a year.
In a car?
In a car, yeah. As a semi full of cattle, like, streaks by your dorm room? Come to Denton.
Are you kidding me?
I also love the expectations here. Like, Seth Luttrell has won 9 games in the last 3 years so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, well,
life's tough without Mason Fine.
Yeah. Like, obviously, that's about to run out for him. But, like, Todd Dodge, about a decade or so ago, won 6 games in 4 years.
Yeah. You can
hide for a long time.
You got a leash. As long as Thomas Hayden Church likes you, you're good to go.
As long as you keep Miss Ann Rice happy, as long as Mom is happy.
Can you imagine? Why is their Halloween game not the biggest thing going?
Yeah.
You get Ann Rice. I'm talking about helmets with like blood coming on.
You get Ann Rice and Meatloaf. Mm-hmm. And just let him go fucking ham?
Come on, we got a bat out of hell.
What's that? A vampire bat out of hell?
I want Halloween uniforms that have ruffles on them in honor of those two figures. Just big old pirate ruffles.
But just ruffles like right here at the shoulder pad?
Big old collars. Plunging jerseys with plunging necklines. We can do it all.
Actually, jerseys with vampire capes would be the problem, though, because you'd be like, we thought it was a great idea, but we got tackled behind the line of scrimmage every play.
I think that is, it's about courting pass interference.
Number
right?
cape has resist. Declared eligible. I don't know what to do here.
Number, waving number that we can't discern. This was a terrible fucking idea. It's just awful.
Why did we do this? Why did we do this? This is bad.
We did this for recruiting.
I bet that's
so all the jazz goths.
With Ann Rice as your major booster, I bet you have to show up in full Chippendales vampire gear once a year to her house. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be my...
Yeah. She doesn't bite you. She just, like, kind of sucks on your neck a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. It's worth it
for $1 million a year.
It's like a chill orgy. You don't have to fuck anybody, but your dick does have to be out. You do have to do that.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there, like, eating some crepes with my dick out.
That's how we did it in Denton, Texas.
Yeah. On a recruiting call, and they're like, hey, coach, what are you doing? You're like, yeah, I got my shit out at this orgy in New Orleans. I'm not doing
it's
anything.
It's fine. I'm having a crab puff with my dick out.
I'm just
don't come in here. Don't come in here. Don't come in here. Yeah.
Or do. Don't come in here. Yeah.
All right.
I just got it. It's kind of chubbed up, but don't come in here.
Yeah. I want you to see it at its best. I'm going to wait until they start playing the Eagles.
Go on now. Yeah. Don't think at its best. We're in Conference USA. You don't need your best.
Yeah.
50% is plenty.
Don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm putting my cape on, okay? Yeah. Don't worry about it.
This is
Dick's going 500. That's fine at North Texas.
This is a high 2-star erection, all right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And then you get Dr. Phil, and he's like telling you all the stuff you suck at.
Yeah.
He's telling you what's wrong with your half dick.
Yeah.
He's telling you what's wrong with your half dick.
You stupid.
We have to end this now.
I don't like you.
Your half dick needs to make better choices.
No, it doesn't. It's ready for anything.
It is all purpose, like a Swiss Army knife.
It's running the RPO.
Let me tell you something. There's nothing mean about your dick, but it is green, and you should get that looked at.
A dick that half-hearted ain't going to be denting anything.
Oh my god.
Ooh. Felder, thank you for indulging us.
I mean, you got a dent in your half dick.
Thank you, Felder. That was very fun.
We've got your dick right here, and he wants to say something.
How'd you you do that, Dr. Phil? Man. How did you hide my dick behind a curtain this entire episode?
Man, Cerber does a very good Dr. Phil. I just learned.
Very good. It's way better than his Shaq. It's way better than his Shaq.
My Shaq's pretty good. I run a pretty good Shaq. That's not the worst Shaq they've ever heard in my entire life.
Wow. I would never guess.
Now, Dr. Phil is bring excellent. Out Shaq. Shaq, Shaq, tell us about your half dick-a-roni.
No, it's dick-a-roni.
Yeah, you're half dick-a-roni.
When you buy the dick-a-roni, you're supporting scholarships. It's in North Texas.
Please forget that the previous spokesperson made insensitive racial comments. Please. Everyone's forgotten Papa John.
God.
Just so you know. You go ahead and you buy the Shaq-a-roni. Excuse me, Dick-a-roni. Every time you buy a Dick-a-roni, you're supporting Spencer Hall in North Texas.
Coach Spence. That's
right. It's amazing. Dick-shaped pizza has built this football program.
Yep. And Ann Rice.
And Ann Rice.
That's, yeah. It's not blood. It's marinara.
The vampire football team is going to stick with
Take
me.
Take my word for just it. The
stupid fucking capes.
Just like green.
The opposing
I'm mostly like I'm mostly I will say like this. Imagining the coaches in capes just like constantly like
I was gonna say, but imagine the a turnover cape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be a turnover coffin. Turnover coffin, you get to rest.
Yeah.
I love this team having because you're in Conference USA. You have to play at all ridiculous hours. This team at 11 a.m. kicking off local, making a big fucking deal out of it.
No, the daywalkers.
The whole team walks out and they like melt in the sun.
They just hiss all through the coin flip. They're hissing.
It's like you're fine. You might get a little sunburned, but you're fine.
You transferred.
No, I'm not.
You transferred here from Arizona. You've only been in this one. What do you mean?
You are from San Antonio, sir.